T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show No Huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go!
Welcome back to Twin Peaks and Buckhead, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, coming at you live on a Friday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The bar opens in 2 minutes, so come by, say hi. The beer is 28.6 degrees right now, so it's cold. Yeah, it's about time. It's almost noon on a Friday. It's about time to probably have a nice cold beer.
Yeah.
Let's see if they have any Amstel Light over there.
I think they might.
Get myself a nice cold Amstel Light.
I'm sure they got
yeah, there it is.
One of these taps. Yeah, there it is.
It's the Beer Drinker's Light beer.
There it is. Oh, there it is right there.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we will get back into what John Smoltz had to say yesterday to Duke Sabel, as well as the similarities between what John Smoltz had to say to them and what Tim Kirkchin said on TV just the other day about the Braves, the trade deadline, and what maybe needs to happen over the next 19 days before the trade deadline comes and goes. The Wendy Zone at 11:40, as always. Wendy Adams here hanging out with us at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. One thing about that, not only we'll do the Wendy Zone at 11:40, Sports Jeopardy at 12:40, and like we did last week, crowdsourcing some trivia questions.
Right.
If you have a good trivia question that you think would be fun for Sports Jeopardy at 12:40, send it to Wendy on Twitter, at Wendy Radio. We'll do our best to work it in when we get there at 12:40. Now, this hour brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. Because there's so much going on today, Randy, we're going to do our Falcons storyline coming up in the NFL No Huddle segment in about 5 minutes.
Right.
Before we do that, though, there are a couple little NFL news and notes that I wanted to hit on before we get into our Falcons topic. The first one being what we talked a little bit about yesterday with Melvin Gordon and the Los Angeles Chargers.
Thank you.
And the fact that he wants either a new contract or to be traded. And there's some audio that surfaced from last year. I know we don't have it, but I'll just tell you what it said. When he was watching what Le'Veon Bell was doing on television, and he said, "I would too. I would sit out a year too if I didn't get what I want."
Uh-huh.
So maybe he would actually consider not playing football this year to try to leverage his skill set and try to leverage the success that he's had in the NFL into actually getting the contract that he wants if the Chargers aren't going to give it to him.
Well, Los Angeles Chargers have one of the most talented rosters in the entire football league, and he's a big part of that and a big part of that offense. And he deserves his money. He deserves a market value running back contract because he's one of the top he's one of the top five backs, in my opinion, in the National Football League. So, yeah, he should get his money. The holding out like Le'Veon Bell, I don't know Melvin that well. He just don't seem like he's the type of cat to do that. That's my only thing about it. And I'm sure that they're going to find a way to get Telesco and all them. They need to get the deal done.
You know what's interesting? We talked to Jason Butt yesterday about the Falcons, and he sort of used that same language in talking about Grady Jarrett. Like, he's not the type of guy to do that. What does that even mean? Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with holding out if you don't like your contract.
There's nothing wrong with
what type of guy does it and what type of guy doesn't.
Because here's the thing. That's the only way an NFL player can get what they want. You withhold your services.
Yeah.
You know? But what I mean by that, because Le'Veon, he's just a different cat. You know, he's a cat where it's more about him. You know, it's about me. And I'm not mad at you for get your money, bro. Like I said, Melvin's just seemed to me. That's what I said to me. It just seemed like he's more of that team-oriented guy. It's about the team. But at the same time, I need to get mine, too. That's why I said I don't think he'll sit out. But in today's game, nothing surprises me. Nothing surprises me what these players do nowadays.
Right.
At all.
I mean, it surprised me that Le'Veon Bell actually sat out
the entire game. It didn't surprise me.
It really?
No.
I thought at some point he would be like, all right, never mind.
It didn't surprise me at
all. When that deadline came and it cost him what? like $12 million or something like that?
Yeah, it didn't surprise me.
Yeah, well, and you were right. He sat out the entire season and I guess ultimately got what he wanted, although he got less money than he was offered initially by the Pittsburgh
Steelers. But he got a whole lot of money. That's one of the worst arguments ever. People say, well, he didn't get – dude, did you see how much he did get?
He got a lot.
Okay.
He got a lot. And he got peace of mind. Like, he got the opportunity to put his foot down and kind of be right in the end. Kind of. I don't know if he was right or if he was wrong. But he got what he wanted ultimately, and he didn't bow to the powers that be in the NFL, which generally is what happens. Guys – think they're going to hold out, and then they don't, and then they come back, and the NFL wins. At least Le'Veon Bell got to say that he won that fight.
Right.
Now, he ended up in New York with the Jets, so I don't know if he won anything, but we'll see. We'll see what happens with Melvin Gordon as well. Here's another NFL headline from today. We were talking about this during the break, Randy. I think you made a really good point. So apparently, the NFL is going to suspend their full-time officiating program. They were talking about making NFL referees full-time employees.
Yes.
Right now, they're part-time employees. Yes. And I guess I just accepted the idea, for whatever reason, that if you were a full-time employee, then you would be better at your job. But you made a good point in saying that maybe that's not necessarily the case.
No, I mean, you're going to pay them full-time to be just as bad.
It's like, what is the logic of saying that if you're doing it, if that's your full-time job, that you would immediately be better at it? I guess I don't know. You're right.
Somebody tell me that logic.
I don't know why. You're right.
I mean, especially when you look at a game or a part of the game that relies on a lot of, you know, human, you know, just a guy reacting and seeing things like that. Oh, because I don't have to go back and teach, or I don't got to go to court or anything like that. That means I'm going to be a better referee? Really?
Yeah, so you think like the referees in the NFC Championship game last year wouldn't have missed that call if was the guy thinking about the construction project that he had coming up next weekend? Is that why he didn't see the pass interference call? Is that something?
That's what you got to sell me on. If you're honestly don't tell me you think that the NFL will be better than full-time employees. Really? Come on, man.
No, you're right.
Come on, man.
I guess it would have looked like it would have been one of those posturing things from the NFL.
Easily.
To make it look like they were doing everything that they possibly could do to make sure that the officiating was better. But I'm with you. It doesn't necessarily mean that it would have been. But at this point, they're going to suspend that project. The NFL full-time officials won't happen this year. Maybe it'll happen at some point down the line, but it's not going to happen this year. One more thing before we get to the Falcons secondary. Did you see what Josh Norman was doing?
Dude.
I believe it's in Pamplona, Spain.
That's the bucket list.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. I want
to
do it.
To run with the Bulls?
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that?
Here's why. Because that's just, you know, my wife wants to swim with sharks. I want to do that. So we're eventually going to do both of those. We're going to knock one of them out next year. But, yeah. Dude, that looks like it's so much fun. And here's my thing. All right? Because all I got to do is outrun the Bull. All I got to do is outrun the guy that, the Bull is chasing, me and him. But what I'm going to do is, I'll push you in front of that bull to save myself.
Delete this audio.
Yeah.
This is incriminating evidence.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm going to give you a little chicken wing right there, flipper. But, yeah,
they have manslaughter in Spain?
But I was like, dude, the way he jumped over the bull.
He did jump over a bull.
And then, like, the bull lifted his head while Josh was going over. He cleared his head. And then I'm like.
He almost got flipped.
Like, damn, Josh. Like, I don't want it that bad.
Those are cobblestone roads out there, man. You fall on that thing, you probably break something.
I know the Redskins weren't happy.
Oh, I'm sure they weren't.
Yeah, I know they weren't happy.
They get mad if you played pickup basketball in your driveway.
I know they won't. But, hey, once again, I ain't going to get mad at me, a grown man.
I mean, is that in your – there are parts of contracts that say you can't do certain things, right?
Yeah,
I guess
I don't think running with the Bulls is in there.
It should be.
Yeah, I don't.
If I was an NFL team, that would be
like
in there.
They have motorcycles and all that kind of stuff in there.
Line one, no motorcycles. Line two, no jet skis. Line three, no ATVs.
Yes,
Malik McDowell.
But people
line
still do
four,
it.
No pickup basketball. Line five, no running with the Bulls.
Yeah, I didn't. I saw that. I was like, damn. Like, I wouldn't do it when I'm playing. I wasn't gonna do that. But
so
I'm
you
like,
gonna put on like the white shirt and the red handkerchief?
Dude,
and all
I'm
that
going
stuff?
All in, man. I'm going
I would go watch it. I would not run.
Yeah, I'm going. Yeah, I'm running down that hill. Yeah, ain't scared.
I know you're not.
I'm a little scared, though.
I'll pray for you.
I'll be a little scared.
Like, I'll be scared for you.
I will be at the point, Andy, when it's time to start it, that I will say, man, I ain't doing this.
Well, they got enough sangria over there. Spanish wine.
Do I want to run drunk?
I would. That's the only way I'm doing it. I'm not running away from a bull sober, I'll tell you that. All right, let's get to this Falcons storyline number 6. We've counted down from 10 to 1. We've talked Devontae Freeman yesterday. We talked depth in general earlier this week. We talked coaching changes. There's obviously a lot to look at coming into 2019 for the Atlanta Falcons. One of the areas when you talk about maybe depth concerns, or maybe you're not concerned about it, but some change, because it's going to be a different looking unit,
right?
Partially because of injuries last year, partially because of personnel moves they've made this offseason, is the Falcons secondary. And I think the guy that I circle when I talk about the Falcons secondary, as far as the guy who I'm most intrigued to see, maybe worried, but definitely intrigued to see, is Isaiah Oliver.
Yeah, because he's going into that second corner position, taking over Robert Alford, and that's a big time deal. I mean, you're a starting cornerback in the league after going into your second year, And, you know, they drafted him to do that. I'm sure that they had in mind that, you know what, we're going to draft this kid. This will be Robert Alford's last year. And then we'll move on from that. Then eventually he'll slide over, take over for Trufant when Trufant's gone. But, yeah, this is a big deal. This is a big-time, you know, deal for him because of the fact that they're moving KZ to the nickel also. And it'll be, those will be your top three corners. And right now he's going to get team's best guy because they don't flip a lot. They don't, you know, Trufant doesn't travel like most number one corners do. So he's going to get some of the best receivers, you know, especially look at the receivers in the South. I mean, he's going to get all of Mike Evans. He's going to get some of Michael Thomas. He's going to get those guys. But he's built the way Dan wants corners. He's long. He's athletic. He's not a burner, but, you know, he ain't slow.
Right.
And he got better as the season went on last year. We know what happened in the Cincinnati game.
We do.
But he's gotten better. The more playing time he got better.
No doubt. And they got him on the field a lot the last few weeks of the season because you could read the writing on the wall. You knew what was going to happen. It saved the team a lot of money to move on from Robert Alford, and you drafted Isaiah Oliver in the second round for a reason. You don't do something like that unless you plan on making that guy the starter.
Correct.
Now, look, it was supposed to be Jalen Collins.
Yes.
Jalen Collins couldn't keep himself out of trouble and be on the field.
Right.
But similar body types. And the Richard Sherman prototype, I think, is what you go back to when you talk about what Dan Quinn wants. They had that great success in Seattle with long corner in Richard Sherman. And they had other guys that were long, too, that they had less success with. But I think Isaiah Oliver is supposed to be that guy. I'm also interested in DeMonte KZ in that slot corner position, in that nickel corner position. Because last year, did a really nice job as a ball-hawking safety.
He did.
Tied for the lead in the NFL in interceptions, really burst onto the scene as one of the breakout performers, one of the few breakout performers because of injuries last year for the Falcons. And I understand with Ricardo Allen coming back, you want Ricardo Allen back in that spot where he is most comfortable at the back end of the defense. What do you think it's going to look like with DeMonte KZ as the nickel corner?
Well, he's such a ball hawk. He's more of a ball hawk than Brian Poole. And Brian Poole was really good. I thought, you know, he's really good as a rookie, but he didn't take that next step. He was still okay, but I thought, you know, you look at him as from his rookie year and him and as his development, he didn't take that next step.
He was
so
inconsistent.
Yeah, that's Brian Poole. That's where I'm looking for.
Because he'd have those moments. Remember the playoff game against the Rams? Brian Poole was phenomenal.
Yes,
he was the best tackler on the field.
Yes.
Made a bunch of great plays.
He's a great tackler.
He's a very good
better tackle than KZ in my opinion. And Robert Poole, Brian Poole missed a lot of tackles.
That was so frustrating
about
it.
He
was an excellent tackler,
but he missed
that would miss a ton of the Drew Brees tackle at the end of the Saints game.
The Nick Chubb soul snatching run. It was both of those guys.
Yeah.
Bad angle by KZ. But yeah, KZ does the one thing that nobody in the entire secondary does. And I'm talking about all of them guys. He takes the ball away. That's what he does. He's a playmaker at that position. Now, that slot different now. It's different. It's a lot of space. The receivers have that two-way go, you know, and things like that. But he is a very good blitzer, you know, and that's something else that you got to be able to do from the nickel position. And you got to be able to hang in there and run support also.
Yeah.
He ain't the biggest dude in the world. If he was, he'd be an outside corner. But I like that move that he's – playing the nickel now because it gives you a little bit more versatility because a lot of guys like to go three safeties and all. He can do so many different things on a football field. And if you get to a point where you go big nickel or something like that, you want to bring Keanu Neal down to the linebacker position, you can do different things with him.
There was a point last season, and this is not a great stat, but it's true, where Brian Poole was leading the team in sacks.
Yeah.
Where he was coming out of they would run those nickel blitzes and Poole would get in the backfield. And it's great when that's working, but also, you know, you'd like to have other sack production from maybe your pass rushers.
Yeah.
Now, we put numbers on those two guys, those edge rushers on Vic and Tech. 20, I love that number. If they can get to 20, I think the Falcons have a great chance to make the NFC Championship game. What about interception numbers? Because you look at what the Falcons defense did last year, and they were one of the least successful teams as far as turning the football over. There was zero interceptions between Trufant and Alford combined.
Well, how many drops between those two?
Tons.
Yes.
Yes, tons. Want to put a number on these guys? Between Isaiah Oliver and Desmond Trufant and KZ as well?
Between all three? Can we get seven?
Seven?
Yeah.
Right, I don't want to
say 16 or nothing like that because, you know, thank God True, he's going to drop six of them. You know, he's going to drop at least six of them. So let's go seven, and that's not even a high number. So if your whole secondary can give you 15 interceptions, let me take that back. If your whole defense can give you 15 interceptions,
that's exactly what you got last year.
So they need more.
15 interceptions.
Okay, let me
that's the exact let me amp
that let me amp that number
year.
Up a little bit. 20.
Okay.
All right, let's go 20.
Yeah, 20 works.
And I think 20 is they only got 15.
Yeah.
So with the drops, they could have been over like damn near 30.
Yes. they very well could have. And the other thing, too, is I think the entire perception of Trufant's season last year changes if he just comes up with two.
That's it.
Comes up with that interception.
He wasn't god-awful last year.
No, he was actually pretty
good. He wasn't
god-awful
last year.
Now, is he – the money always comes into it.
And that's
fair. But if he makes that interception against Cincinnati –
game's over.
And he makes that interception against Dallas
– game over.
Then we're talking about a completely different season for Desmond Trufant. Unfortunately, he didn't, so we're not. And here we are worrying about the secondary. 20?
Yeah.
We need 20 for the whole defense?
Yeah, say 20.
Okay.
Let's say 20.
They can do that.
They can do that.
I mean, Dan Quinn defenses historically have been really good at turning the ball over.
Then you're throwing the fumbles and all that. So let's say 33 turnovers.
Okay.
33 turnovers.
I'll take 33 turnovers. Yeah. I'll sign me up for that right now. Just so long as the offense has
I don't think they're going to get 15. Anywhere near that, but okay.
You got to get that plus minus somewhere around 15. That's where Dan Quinn wants it. All right. We'll come back. We'll let you hear what John Smoltz had to say yesterday to Duke Sabel. He's pretty high on a pitcher that could be traded for. I know not everybody out there on Twitter loves it, but, you know, John Smoltz knows a thing or two about pitching.
Yeah.
We'll let you hear from John Smoltz coming up next right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from Twin Peaks Buckhead.
It's Andy and Randy.
So are you guys in a band or something?
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, coming to you live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Andy Bunker, Randy McMichael. Coming up in 20 minutes, the Wendy Zone, Wendy Adams, live up in Buckhead hanging out. And it's starting to fill out here. The bar's been open for 20 minutes. Lunchtime, what? I'm still about 40 minutes away, but not a bad crowd for 11:20.
Beer's at 29 degrees. We got two guys at the bar tonight and smashed the big boy.
Oh, yeah.
Big boy beer. So, yeah, it's Friday. It's Friday afternoon.
I'm jealous. I'll be there, though. I'll meet him there pretty soon. It's almost noon here at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. And
yes.
I think that's
it's about that time.
Maybe that's time to start. Anyway, the Wendy Zone coming up in 20 minutes. We'll get to that. Also, still, have we gotten any trivia questions? Are people sending you trivia questions? Okay, if you have good questions for Sports Jeopardy coming up at 12:40, we are accepting questions from you. So send them over there to Wendy on Twitter, at Wendy Radio. We'll use them coming up at 12:40 when Randy and myself go head-to-head in Sports Jeopardy. All right, before we get to anything else, though, first thing I want to let you know, Atlanta United supporters, you can join 92.9 The Game this Sunday starting at 3 p.m. at Pizzeria Azzurri and coming for the Atlanta United versus Seattle watch party. The Seattle Sounders and Atlanta United playing on Sunday afternoon should be a fun one, so get up there to Pizzeria Azzurri to check that out. We'll get back into some Atlanta United conversation later on in the 12 o'clock hour as well, because one thing we know, Randy, is this Pity Martinez sort of he said he didn't say thing.
Did he say that he didn't say anything?
I don't know. Oh. He has not said anything directly to the Atlanta media since mid-May. And he said something directly to the Argentinian media yesterday, and that had some people concerned because some of the comments that he made it sound like maybe he wasn't all that happy with Frank DeBoer. Now, we also heard this morning on this radio station from Carlos Bocanegra that Frank DeBoer and Pity Martinez sat down this morning and worked through whatever that was. So Pity will speak with the media later. We will let you know what he says and react to what he says later as well. But probably at this point, best to just sort of hang out and see what happens with that. So while we're doing that, let's talk some Braves. What do you say?
All right.
John Smoltz was on the radio station yesterday. Great stuff from him, as always. Braves get underway in the second half of the season tonight on the road against the Padres. Dallas Keuchel on the mound. Smoltz speaking yesterday on a number of different things, and we'll get to the similar comments that he made to what Tim Kirkchin said in just a minute, but he started throwing some names out there. I mean, he was asked about some possible relief as far as trades go, and John Smoltz started talking about a name that we've thrown out there a little bit in terms of Shane Green from Detroit. Here's what John Smoltz had to say about him.
I like playing GM. I don't know if I'd be a good one, but the one thing that I can tell you is that after seeing Shane Green with Tigers, maybe he's available as a closer out there, and then maybe they package it with like a Matt Boyd, or and then you get a 2-for-1. So I think there's ways to improve the team, and the trigger has to be pulled a little quicker, and the decisions are going to have to be made on some young guys.
Again, that's John Smoltz yesterday with Duke Sabel, and I think, you know, he prefaces his statements the same way that we often do when we talk about the Braves making moves, which is it's fun to play GM. because you don't really have to think about the long-term consequences of playing GM,
right?
And maybe giving up a talent that goes on to become an all-star, and you have to deal with that fallout for the next handful of years. I just don't think about it that way. And again, maybe that's because it's easy to sit here at a bar and talk about what the team should do. Mm-hmm. I think about it in terms of what's going to give this team the best chance to win this year.
Yeah.
And I think making your bullpen gives the team the best chance to win this year. Let me ask it to you this way, as we sit here at the All-Star break with the team ready to kick off the second half tonight. Are you going to be mad 19 days from now if the Braves completely stand pat and don't make any moves?
No, because here's why. They did make a move.
Okay.
And you know, if they didn't get DK, yeah, I'd probably be frustrated because I didn't think they were going to go out there and pull that trigger for him. But I'm looking at some of these trade rumors and everything going around, and Boyd, he is a, it says right here, he's a target for the Braves. I like the Shane Green type thing, but I mean, I can like anything. My whole thing is, what are you willing to give up to get it? That, I mean, I can deal with any of these guys that we keep talking about as far as to the Braves. I got all that. I'm with them. Hell yeah, bring them on. What you got to give up for? That, I think that's the biggest thing. What do you have to give up? Because the list of all these people and our listeners and everything, he's untouchable, he's untouchable, he's untouchable. You're going to have to give up one. Somebody's going to have to get touched.
Yeah, I know
to
that.
To get one of these guys.
No, I understand that. I just – that's always true, though.
I'll tell you this. I would be shocked if they made a move on the 31st or whatever. If they make a move by then or before then, that one of those untouchable guys that people line up are gone.
Well, yeah, because we're referring to them as untouchable.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, be surprised.
You would be surprised or you would not be surprised?
I would not be surprised.
If they moved one of those guys.
You're going to have to move somebody to get
him. And I'm with you.
Yeah.
And
Can you put Camargo in a lesser package in for one of these guys?
Probably, depending on if you're talking about a relief pitcher. Again, if you're getting into Bumgarner, which we'll talk about in a minute, obviously that's going to cost you more. But like, we talk about it as if making trades is ever not this way. It's always this way.
Yes, but we're talking about our team.
Yes, we are. But we also think about it as if not every trade is the Shelby Miller trade.
I agree.
You're not going to be able to just completely fleece a team every single time, which it may be great if you could, but it's not the way that it works. And sometimes you take a chance, because here's the way that I look at it. I see the Braves right now as a team who legitimately can be thinking about World Series.
I agree.
You can actually be thinking about that. We know that that's something that this team can be in contention for. You don't know if they're going to be in contention for that next year. You probably, but who knows? There's no guarantees in sports. Look at what happened in the NBA yesterday. Chris Paul thought him and James Harden were going to be contending for titles for years to come. He gets traded to Oklahoma City.
Not so fast, my friend.
Not so fast. Life comes at you fast.
It does, like we said. It does.
Look at the Washington Nationals, and they're the extreme example every single year with the Strasburg thing because they shut them down because they thought they'd be in contention every single year, and they haven't been. My thing is, in sports, when you have a chance to capitalize on a season that's going really well, you have to try to do it.
Yes.
And just say worst-case scenario. You make a trade this year. You go out and try to get one of those relief pitchers. Say you go for the broke and try to get a starter too. And it doesn't work out. 5 years from now, one of these guys, he trades an all-star someplace else. At least you can justify it by saying, I get it because they went for it that year.
Right.
They had a chance to go for it in 2019. Yeah, it didn't work out, but I got to respect them for trying.
But do you respect them for trying?
I would.
Would everybody respect them for trying?
No, of course not.
Because that's the biggest
thing. Because people always have revisionist history.
That's the biggest thing, Andy. The revisionist history of the whole thing is that you don't want to give up a Golden Glove, or you don't want to give up a Cy Young Award. You don't want to give that up. All GMs are afraid of. Now we know Alex Anthopoulos, he gave up Noah Syndergaard.
He did.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm sure.
It's a bad trade.
It was a bad trade for a knuckleballer indoor pitcher. It's not a good thing.
That wasn't a good idea.
It wasn't a good idea. But and Noah Syndergaard's a guy that you might be able to get.
But at least he went for it.
What was he going for?
You know, Toronto was going for it at that point. Toronto had a lot happening. They were a pretty good team those years.
They were right.
I understand. Just trying to bolster the pitching rotation. But, again, like, this is the thing that I think we have an obligation to do as people who follow a team if you're going to do it intelligently, or people that talk about a team if you're going to do it or cover a team intelligently, is keep the context there. Okay. Don't just talk about stuff with revisionist history. Talk about it in the context of what was going on at the time. We talked about this last week. Everybody likes to jump on the Mets for the Bobby Bonilla thing. The Bobby Bonilla decision worked. they cleared money that year so they could go out and add a pitcher that helped take them to the World Series, and the compensatory pick that they got turned into David Wright.
Okay. Like, yeah, the Bobby, okay. But it ain't always like that. It
needs to be.
I'm like this, right? Because I'm getting real frustrated with all of this trade and all this. Why don't we just wait and see what we got?
Well, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. Just sit back and see what you got. And, I mean – we know that this kid, Ian Anderson, he's supposed to be that deal. Is he ready to come up? Just, you know, why can't we wait on Fulton?
And it's fine to wait.
Yeah.
And it's fine to believe in prospects. There's nothing wrong with that.
But
don't lie to yourself and say that this guy wouldn't help the team because you know what a prospect is going to be. No, you don't.
I agree.
You don't know what a prospect is going to be.
I want to see it proven. I want to see a proven guy. I get that. I get all that. I'm like, but now you're at a point where – You don't want to give it up. You know that you need that guy. You know that we should go out there and get that guy. But how much are you willing to give up to get that guy? And right now I'm like, you know what, just stand pat and wait on Gausman and see what he can do. Because that's the frustrating part about this whole Gausman and Fulton and these guys. We already know they can see. We look at them. We see them all the time. You know what I'm saying? We've been seeing them all year, seeing what they've done all year. And it ain't got no better. Now, if you look at, you know, the ERA, the bullpen and all that, it's one of the best in the ball. But do you trust that when it is time to go after that title?
I trust most of them. I don't trust the guy who pitches last.
How do you trust any of them?
Well, just the way they pitched the last 2 months.
You think they're going to keep it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I think, but again, like that's the guys in the middle. Those guys are fine. But ideally, you go out and get a pitcher where you're not going to have to use those guys that much. If we're talking about a Braves team.
What did you guys Sabaka do the other day? Was he in the middle?
If you're talking about a Braves team that makes a run into the NLCS and into the World Series. Mm-hmm. You're not doing that by having your bullpen pitch 5 innings a game. That's just impossible. That's not going to happen.
But are we sure that are we sure that outside of Dallas Keuchel that we're at a point where these guys are going to go more than 5?
No.
Because we're under this assumption that they're going to cut back on Mike Soroka and Max Fried's innings.
And here's my worry about that too is the more you cut back on those guys, say you scale back Soroka and Fried for the next couple of months. Maybe you go to a 6-man rotation.
Right.
Maybe you try to make sure they only throw X amount of pitches or X amount of innings or whatever. However you go about doing that, can you then get to October and say, all right, now go back to what you were
That is a good point.
That's a really good point. All right, we're going to scale you back to get there. But then when we get there, you got to go back to being.
That's a great point. Because in the
playoffs, you don't get to pitch every 6 days.
That's a great point.
In playoffs, if you're the best pitcher on the team, you might have to pitch on 2 days rest.
Or
3 days rest.
Andy, that is a great point. That's why the six-man rotation looks a little better. And also, do you take a start away? You're like, hey, you're not going to start today. Do you do that with them? But you're absolutely right. It's hard to be like, okay, you're going to pitch 5 innings a day, but in 2 months we need you to go 8. You're absolutely correct with that, but they got to figure something out.
Here's my thing. Don't try to say don't do anything because you're so worried about prospects in trying to justify the idea that Madison Bumgarner couldn't help you because
he can.
Can we play what John Smoltz said yesterday?
He can help you.
Here's what John Smoltz said about Bumgarner yesterday.
He is worth kicking the tires on. He's a game changer, you know, and I don't know with one really with a situation like that, it's one of those trade and sign guys. You know, that can't be a second half rental. I don't know that San Francisco would get enough returns, you know, for that. But
right.
He's definitely one of those guys you lean on heavily, and his postseason pedigree ain't going away. So that's what you need.
Maybe you don't want to give up prospects, but don't try to lie to yourself in saying that Bumgarner couldn't make you better because of that.
Right.
You're lying to yourself. Smoltz wants him or says he would help. Tim Kirch had said he would help. I think he'd probably help.
The kicking of the tires makes me nervous, though, because they usually say that for old people.
Well, he's old. He's been around for a while. Not that old, but he's been around for a while. All right, we'll come back. We'll get back into that conversation a little bit later on. The Wendy Zone coming up next, though. Wendy Adams here with us live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. You could be here with us live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. All you got to do is show up. The Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up! It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, coming to you live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. The bar is open, and it's pretty full, man. A lot of people up there sipping on some beers here right before noon at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, and you could be one of them. It's easy. All you got to do is drive up here, park, and walk in here and order a beer. The beer right now is 30.9 degrees, so it's nice and cold.
We didn't say that about the food, did we?
Oh, you get some food, too. Yeah, food, man food, crippled man food.
Just come up here and get drunk.
I like to get a beer in me, though, before I eat, maybe two, because then you feel it a little faster.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know what I mean?
No doubt, man.
A couple empty stomach beers, and then eat.
And then eat.
And then have a couple more beers after that?
Yeah.
That's generally my game plan. Do it however you want to do it. Up here at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. We'll be here till 2 o'clock this afternoon. Dukes and Bell will be here from 2 to 7. And coming up in 20 minutes, top of the 12 o'clock hour, we'll get back into the most important audio in the world. Now, right before we get to the Wendy Zone, I do want to update you on what's going on with the PT Martinez, Frank DeBoer situation. We reported earlier, because Carlos Bocanegra said on the radio station that there had been a meeting and things had been dealt with. Now, I think we interpreted what he said incorrectly. It sounded like Carlos Bocanegra said that PT Martinez and Frank DeBoer met together.
Right.
That did not happen.
That did not happen.
Carlos Bocanegra met with PT Martinez.
Yes.
Carlos Bocanegra met with Frank DeBoer.
Yes.
But they did not meet at the same time.
Exactly.
Maybe that is good. Maybe that's bad. Maybe it's nothing. I don't know.
I think it's nothing, but because it's
big deal, small deal, no deal.
I think it's small. I actually think it's a small deal.
Small deal.
Because it's, you know, July 12th right now. We're making more of it than it is.
Okay.
But he did come out and say he did have a problem with what Frank said after a game.
Yep.
But it's really not a big deal because it's not the first time that a player's had a problem with something a coach said after a game. And he did say he wants to be here. So there it is. I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I'm done with it, too.
Yeah,
it's just all so soft.
Yeah.
Just play.
Yeah.
Play better. Yeah. And that's the issue. If Pitty Martinez had 17 goals right now and 13 assists, nobody would care about this. He's got 2 goals and 4 assists, though, so people are worried about all this different stuff. Anyway, we'll get back into this as the show
goes
on. Wendy is here with us for the Wendy Zone. Wendy, how are you?
I'm doing well, and it was an exciting time for the U.S. Women's National Team this week. They had the ticker tape parade. Not only did they win the World Cup, that ticker tape parade in New York on Wednesday jetted right over to L.A. following that parade and ceremony for the ESPY Awards in Los Angeles. Well, this tweet was sent out last night by Allie Long, who's a midfielder for the U.S. Women's National Team, has been with them since 2014. She sent the following tweet. After the at ESPY show, someone stole my wedding ring, cash, and key to my favorite city after just receiving it from my hotel room. Do you make copies at NYC Mayor? I would love a new one. So according to TMZ and law enforcement in L.A., she told investigators she went down the hall for a visit to someone else. And you know how you put the latch on your door just to hold it so you don't have to bring your room key? Well,
so you prop the door open.
Yes.
Right. We've all done it. Yep.
We're not too nervous. And the Ritz-Carlton has pretty good security.
It's a nice hotel.
So they said that that's when the incident occurred. So a wedding ring worth about $15,000 was taken. $4,000, she's reporting, in cash was stolen.
Oh,
but
man,
she's most concerned about the key. So the mayor of New York tweeted her back. So sorry to hear it, Allie. Hang in there. Don't worry about the key. Like any good New Yorker, we keep a spare for our neighbors. We got you covered. But who steals at the Ritz-Carlton? How do you get away with it?
Whoever does it sound like they did a pretty good job.
A
crook.
But there are security cameras.
Oh, so they're going to catch him.
Oh, they're going to see who at least went into a room.
But
so there are cameras on her floor.
What a bummer. Obviously your wedding ring, that sucks. That really, really sucks. Hopefully they can get that back. That would be great if they can. $4,000, that sucks. The key to the city, though?
Damn, that key to the city. Where your ring at, woman? And why it ain't on your finger?
Now, that's a great question.
Why your ring ain't on your finger?
When does your ring come off your finger?
I don't ever take mine off.
I take mine off when I'm...
Or when if I'm cooking and I got a lot of chicken and everything, I'll take it off.
Yep.
But that's it.
Meat? Like raw meat, and then when I'm golfing.
I got to take it.
I can't play when I golf. It gives me a blister.
I need a new one because my fingers ain't fat no more. So, yeah, it's just dangling. I got this bad knuckle, so that's the only thing holding on. But
here's
where your wedding ring at, woman? And why don't your finger?
If you're in a hotel room.
Exactly.
Without your wedding ring on, that doesn't seem like a good situation at all.
She wasn't going to bed. She was walking down the hallway.
You don't take your wedding ring off when you go to bed.
I wouldn't know.
Where your damn wedding ring? Why your wedding ring ain't on your finger?
Y'all are talking
damn
to someone
damn
have
a New
it.
York. Damn the key. Why your ring ain't on your finger?
That's a great question.
Well, and you walking down the hallway in hotels.
I'm assuming they're all staying on the same floor, talking about the entire women's national
team. I'm sure they are.
I'm sure they are, too.
And I'm sure some of them are up to some post-World Cup shenanigans. I know I would be if I was a single man. What better way to celebrate the World Cup than to get out there and have a little bit of fun? Sounds like some of the married people might be out there having some fun, too. She got caught.
Yep.
She got robbed and she got caught.
But yeah,
that's what it sounds like to me.
I think she didn't want it to get stolen.
What did you keep it on your finger?
You know the best way to get your ring not stolen?
Keep it on your finger.
I'm just trying to come up with some sort of excuse for not having her wedding ring on.
I know the excuse.
Mine would never come off if I was ever married.
She's cheating on her husband.
I ain't going to say all that. But yeah, you better. I ain't going to go there.
Don't put that out there. Well, she doesn't need that story.
Speculating wildly, as we do. Hopefully that's not true. But you make a great point. Why is your wedding ring not on?
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
We were concerned about the key to New York City.
Now, maybe she was.
Yeah, y'all worried about the key to New York City.
Maybe she was getting some meat ready to grill.
It could happen. It could happen anything.
Maybe she had been golfing.
Maybe they have a fancy, like, kitchenette.
Maybe.
I don't know.
At the Ritz-Carlton in Los Angeles. Who knows? I guess we'll find out more about what happened to all her stuff. Hopefully she'll get it all back.
Hopefully she gets it back.
Well, Major League Baseball testing out robot umpires in the minors. Did you guys get a chance to check this out this season?
Yeah.
So the automated ball strike system is being called TrackMan. They're not actually using robots, but they're telling human umpires what to do. So it involves radar and cameras that create a personal strike zone for each hitter based on their height and their stance. So the umpire has a smartphone with an earpiece, and then once he hears from the computer, he then makes the call. He can override the system in case there's like some sort of like a check swing or a technical glitch.
Okay.
But on the first night, there was a problem with the system. It went down for half an inning, and the umpire had to make the calls
himself.
Are you
serious?
The first night.
First damn night.
Somebody forgot to charge the smartphone or what?
I don't know what exactly happened. Generally, it worked without controversy besides that half an inning. It's just awkward to watch. You'll have to go and watch the videos because their calls are delayed because he's waiting for the computer to tell him ball, strike. So there's this awkward pause in between telling the batter whether it was a ball or a strike. So I don't know. Robot umpires.
Yeah, it sounds like I'll be honest with you. I've advocated for robot umpires for a long time.
Really?
I don't know. I was on the wrong side of history, all right? I've seen the light now. I think that we've gone way too far with all of the technology in sports.
Yes,
but
we have.
Here's the thing. It's just going to go further.
Oh, without a doubt.
It's just going
to
go further.
Everybody's trying to change something.
For whatever reason, yes. I was more caught up in correctness than I was in entertainment value.
Yes.
And to me, entertainment value is more important than correctness in the end. So I was on the wrong side of things when I was advocating for a very long time about robot umpires. I am now back on the other side. I think just human error is something that we have to deal with.
It's there.
It's okay.
It's there.
It's not the end of the world. But here's the thing. As gambling becomes more and more and more a part of professional sports, which it's going to,
right.
Because it's going to be a huge revenue stream for all these professional leagues, we're going to get more and more and more automation when it comes to referees. So you might not like it. I don't like it. But it's just the way of the world. That's the way that we're headed. Robot umpires are going to be everywhere, Randy.
I know. Hey, I have no doubt, man. I mean, that goes back to what we were talking about, the NFL referees being paid full-time. Paid full-time to still do a part-time job?
Yeah, maybe
it's not going to get any better.
Maybe a robot will get better. Let a robot come in there.
What if it rains, Andy? You know, are these things going to be waterproof?
You can have waterproof.
They're waterproof smartphones.
Yeah,
waterproof. You can put them in a case. You can put it in a case.
You can put the robot in the case?
That's the best.
Yeah, you can put the robot in the
case. I hadn't heard anyone bring up that concern yet. What happens if they get wet?
Yeah, what
That's
happens?
A great point.
What happens?
What if you don't like the call that the robot umpire makes and you splash
it
with
Gatorade? I really want to see you run up on that, dude.
What happens
if you're... It's going to be in a waterproof case.
How expensive is it going to be? Say, Ronald Acuna likes to celebrate championships or even wins by running out there with a Gatorade full of Gatorade. And he dumps it on Brian McCann. What if it gets on the umpire?
Like, seriously.
That's going to be $20,000 worth of damage every time Ronald Acuna gets happy.
Well, I think we're far from that because they're still not using actual robots, just the smartphones with the earpiece. So it's still the umpire
just
out
say
there.
Be careful.
Still a person right now. Just a heads up, if you want to start planning, tomorrow is National French Fry Day.
Oh.
And this got a lot of controversy on my Twitter account yesterday. I asked where the best fries, fast food fries, came from. Checkers is the correct answer.
Arby's is the correct answer.
Arby's have great fries.
Yeah, Arby's fries are awesome. I just like Checkers. You can like Arby's. I'm not going to get mad at
Let's
you.
Let's fight each
like
other.
Like most people do. You're crazy. Why am I crazy? Because I prefer that. You don't have
because you disagree with me.
You know, it's got some good fries when you get them right.
Yeah.
Captain B's.
I've never been to Captain D's.
I've never had Captain D's fries.
So just
I mean, you're not missing anything.
Drive-through seafood just seemed a little bit
it
scary
sounds fishy.
To me.
Captain D's is all right. I see what you did there, Wendy. Captain D's, yeah.
Captain D's, I'm Long John Silver. I'm here all day, folks. Yeah. Here
Wendy
all day.
Will be back in an hour.
More jokes.
All right, Wendy also is soliciting questions for Sports Jeopardy. If you've got trivia questions, send them at @WendyRadio on Twitter. We'll play Sports Jeopardy in about 45 minutes. Coming up next, though, the most important audio in the entire world to kick off the noon hour. We're hanging out here at Twin Peaks of Buckhead. Come by, say what's up. The Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.